This is Julie Whitney Scott Presents at WGRN-FM 94.1, the radio station that's second to none. You've just left the party. You've had a great time. As you walk to your car, you separate from your friends. Your car is about maybe three or four lanes down. You keep walking. All of a sudden, you hear a sound. You turn around and you look over your shoulder, and there's someone approaching you. You don't know who it is. You begin to get a little fearful. Then they come up to you, and they look like they're getting ready to attack you. What do you do? Especially if you're a woman. One in six women are sexually assaulted in Ohio. That's according to the Ohio University's report. There are over 130 women that were raped in Columbus, Ohio, in 2014. Just recently, this year, starting in January, we had a series of women being beaten in German Village. After that, we had a young woman killed on a college campus. We've had women die from being attacked by fire, from being burnt in Ohio. We have had women just recently in June assaulted while jogging. We have had women that are young women. We have had women as old as 61. We have had 75-year-old women assaulted and attacked. How can we protect ourselves? I thought about that question, and I wondered, with the recent things that are going on, and there's a lot of now self-defense classes that pop up, which, by the way, only pop up after something very tragic happens in the neighborhood and people get aboard and say, we're going to have self-defense class. And you see it on the news all the time, only when something happens. And it just occurred to me, I wondered just how important is self-defense? I mean, will it really stop somebody from assaulting me as a woman or a man? I mean, if someone is attacking me, how can I be sure that I can save myself or somebody close to me just from taking self-defense classes? I mean, are they really, really effective? So I thought I would do a little research and look it up and just kind of get some information about that, because I think it's important that school is getting ready to start up again, and we're going to have young men and young boys. We're going to have children that are adolescents that are going to be standing on corners waiting for their buses. We're going to have women going back to school on colleges. And although they keep it very quiet, there's a lot of crime on colleges, especially at the Ohio State University. I know, because I used to work at North Central Mental Health Center, and right there in that neighborhood, and we treated a lot of offenders in that area that lived in that area. There were a lot of homeless people, and there were a lot of drug addicts. And not to say that they are the ones that do it, because when you look at the people that actually commit the crimes, they're usually somebody you wouldn't even think would do the crime. It's not somebody that you would automatically say, well, they're a drug addict, so I know that they're out there raping and doing that. No, not necessarily. But because I worked so close in the OSU area, I was able to see a lot of crime going on that was kept quiet by the Ohio State University Police Department. Things were going on that campus, robberies, people getting robbed almost on a daily basis that was never reported on the news. Young girls being assaulted weekly at parties that was never reported on the news. Every now and then you'll hear about something, but only if it gets so, it has to be so terrible. And normally, I would bet anything, it's the parents that are not willing to go along with the code of silence that sometimes they have at Ohio University in regards to crimes, of keeping it there. Because after all, Ohio State is the Buckeye State. And I mean, we have the best football team in the U.S. of A. And we don't want people not to come to this school. We don't want our sponsors not to continue to sponsor our very expensive football team, by, or all the other sports that are going on, by letting it be known that Ohio State University has a high crime rate, and especially when it goes to sexual assault. So let's talk about some things that we should be aware of. Now, I was looking up here, and I'm looking at a woman's health article, and it talks about 9 myths about self-protection. It was an article that was written by a man named Tim Larkin. And I think that's also interesting that the men are writing the articles about self-defense. And usually it's the men that are also teaching the self-defense classes, which I think is cool, because if we're going to be up against anybody, it's probably going to be a man. And since men are stronger and bigger than us, if I'm going to be practicing how to protect myself, I think I'd rather do it with a male. Because if I can knock him down and hit him in the ribs and he go down or give him a good swift kick, then I might have a better chance than if I was taught by a woman. But that's just my personal opinion. Women out there, don't take offense. Don't take offense. I know we got some strong sisters and women out there that are just as big and strong as men. But I'm just saying, most of the time, and that's just what I notice, is that these classes are taught by men. And I think that there's a reason for that. So, and one of the things he points out in here is that the biggest problem is, as a woman, is not that we're smaller or weaker than typical psychopathic criminal. Now, I don't believe everybody that's a criminal is a psychopath. I believe that there are some crimes out there that are based on need. We're starving and hungry and, you know, I got to feed my kid. I need some drugs. I'm just a thief. Hey, some people are just kleptomaniacs. But that doesn't mean, I guess that does mean they have some problems, but we won't get into that. Let's just go back to this here. But this is what he says, not me, that the criminals are psychopathic. But they said that what it is that we as women assume that these life-threatening beliefs that I'm going to talk about is what keeps us from being able to protect ourselves. So number one myth he has is you should reason with your attacker. Now, how many of us have seen all of the movies and things where the woman slowly just talks to men and she tries to talk the man out of raping her or tying her up or killing her or doing that, and she's pleading for her life. Please, please, please don't hurt me. Don't hurt me. And we all know, and so does the attacker, that means nothing to him. Because as he says here, Tim says, someone who would do such a thing doesn't think like you. They don't think like us. So for us to begin to immediately start begging for our lives and not to hurt, that is kind of useless thing to do, because we're not on the same kind of level playing field as they are. They're thinking another way, harm you. And we're thinking, oh, please don't. It doesn't work. He says the second is if you're attacked, scream for help. Now, we know we always tell people, scream for help. That's one of the first things that we're taught as women. And we even tell our children, if somebody comes to attack you, scream for help. Well, apparently that seems to be a myth, because it says you don't have time to wait for a hero. Now, now that I think about it, that makes a bit of sense, because I'm screaming for help instead of trying to protect myself. And if he's got a knife, boop, I'm stabbed. If he's got a gun, I'm dead. So he says that that's a myth. During a truly violent encounter, you have about 5 seconds to act. And the safest self-defense technique to take is a violent encounter. In a violent is to cause an injury. What's he saying? He's saying if someone is trying to attack you, don't waste time trying to scream and holler. Start figuring out a way to hurt that person in a way that will keep them from, give you time to get away and keep them from hurting you or harming you. That usually makes sense. It says mistakes usually come from hesitation, pausing to see how things are going, lacking the will to really kick a man. Now, how many of you women out there want an opportunity to kick a man? Okay, now, I'm serious, though, but, you know, we don't want to kick you, man. But if you're attacking us, it says that, you know, instead of hollering and screaming for help, we should be trying to kick you. We're trying to do things to hurt you. It says that, and you know, it also says, now, don't try to get into a kicking stance. You know how sometimes you act like you ever watch, I watch my grandson sometimes, and they playing ninja, and they whoa, and they move their hands, and they kick their body, and they jump, and they get in the stance, and they step down, like they're getting ready to do a karate move. It says don't do that, because that's taking up time. While you're taking time to do that, you're going to get hurt. Okay, they said those are opportunities for the person that you've just hurt to recover and hurt you. So I jab you in the kidney and you react, or I kick you in the, and you step and bend over, and then I go into a wah, get into a stance that I'm gonna, and now that gives you a chance, the attacker a chance to catch his breath and come back. So what have we learned so far? Don't try to reason with your attacker. And if you attack, don't bother to scream. Unless, of course, you're screaming while you're punching at them. Ah, bam, 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 woo, woo, kick. Okay? But don't just stand there and scream. Try to, you know, try to injure the person. Now, the third myth they said is that we think that we need to cause pain. And so if we think, oh, I'm just a little person, and I'm only 5 feet or 5 foot two, I weighed 130 pounds, 150, and this man is 250 something pounds, I can't possibly hurt him. If I hit him, I'm not going to hurt him. So out of fear and thinking, well, I can't harm him, we do nothing. He says, in order to be 100% effective, we have to discard the notion of pain as a useful tool in violence. You don't want to hurt him, you need to injure him. Get it? There's a difference between hurting a person and injured. Think about it. If you're injured, if you hurt somebody, hurt your knee or something, you're going to start limping around because you're injured. You might be in pain, but you can't do anything because your leg is hurting. You can be in pain and still function. You know what I'm saying? Think about the people that are suffering with some kind of illness or chronic pain. They have all kind of pain, but they can still function. So he's saying here, anything you do in a violent, life-threatening situation does not cause an injury is worthless to you. So in other words, whatever we do, we need to make sure that we are trying to injure the person. We're not trying to hurt you. We're trying to injure you. We're trying to poke your eyes out. Okay? We're trying to stick our fingers in our nose with our fingernails and ripping your nostrils out. We're trying to stick our hands in your ears and ripping. We're trying to kick you in your knee and make you hurt so bad that you're going to limp and go. We're trying to kick you in the, and so that you have no choice but to buckle. We want to, so remember that, injure them. Don't worry about if no pain, injure. So that's what? Three myths. If you're, the first one was, don't try to reason with your attacker. If you're attacked, scream for help. And we just talked about you need to cause pain. Those are all myths. Now, the fourth myth, he says, is being fit can save your life. Yeah, you know how we are. We have TV telling everybody you need to exercise. You need to stay strong. You need to lift weights. You need to do all that. So what happens? And this here, these tips are not only for women. I think the men can use these tips too, because men are assaulted too. And so are young children. So it says here that no matter how fit or strong you are, the best way to hone your self-protection skills is to focus on targeting key points of the body. And I'm going to tell you what those are. After that, improving your fitness level can increase the force you deliver to the targets. So in other words, you, by being strong, what you're doing to them is more forceful, but that's it. This is Julie Whitney Scott Presents on WGRN FM 91, the radio station that's second to none. And we are talking about how to protect ourselves out there. How do we protect ourselves from attackers, especially those of us that are returning to school and will find ourselves in situations where we may be attacked? So the fifth one, and just a recap again, is you should not try to reason with them. You should not scream. Save your energy. You need to cause pain. Don't worry about pain. Just hurt them. Cause injury. And that you have to be fit to save your life. No, you don't have to be fit. You just need to know what to do. Now, the fifth one says you need technical self-defense skills. You know, that's getting into thinking, oh, I got to know karate. You know, I got to know judo and all that kind of stuff. I have to box. No, it says technique without injury is only a cool trick. Okay? And injury, regardless of how it occurs, whether you do it by technique or by accident, you know, your hands just flail out and bam, you hurt somebody. Oops, I didn't mean that. That kind of thing will always be more effective. So what he's saying is it's not important how the injury happens, only that it happens. Okay. He says his ribs don't know if they were broken by a boot, a stick, or a curb. They just know they were broken. Okay. All you need is a force and a target. Now, what kind of target key points are we talking about? The areas that we're talking about are, I think I said some of them earlier, get those eyes, dig into the eyes, dig into the ears, get the temple of the head, hit them at the temple of the head if you can with your knuckles. You use your fist, use the palm of your hand, the heel. You know your heel of your hand? You use that to hit them up in the chin. Okay, of course, we all know the knee and the foot is very effective. And don't forget the kidneys. Somebody got you in the head, like you use your elbows and you jam into those kidneys. Okay, because that if you jam into those kidneys hard enough, they're going to come down. It says myth 6, women who survive are fearless. Okay, wow. All right, the first effect in any violent situation is emotion. And the most common one is fear. So he's saying like if a man steps in front of you holding a knife, your adrenaline starts to pumping and your heart beats faster. You can't avoid these reactions. So for you to think that in order for you to be able to have good self-defense and save yourself from an attacker is that I have to be fearless and have no fear, he says that's a myth. Anytime something like that's happening, it's fight or flight survival instinct that's going to come into play. That's going to allow you, he says, to focus on beating your enemy or getting the blank out of there. Okay? That's what he says. So many people, they freeze up or act irrationally. So when you know how to respond, you'll feel a certain amount of fear that you could be hurt. You're going to still feel it or that you're about to cause harm to another human being. But that will be tempered with confidence. Okay. What that means is, yes, you're going to be fearful, but you also need to have the confidence that I know I can punch him in his eye and I know I can do some things to try to injure this person so I can get away. Then he says, focus on blocking his attacks. Many self-protection classes teach you to react to an attacker's actions. So what he's saying is sometimes defensive thinking can make you hesitate. What's he going to do to me? And you'll be losing focus if you're thinking about, I want to hurt him or what am I going to do? And thinking about what wanting to get that hurt, am I going to be hurt, will freeze us. So he says you got to be one step behind the attacker. So don't worry about what he's doing. Make him worry about what you're doing. Because, see, that's what happens. When we start, what he's saying is if we start focusing on, oh, my God, I'm going to be hurt, or thinking about, oh, he's got that knife, he's going to kill me, that's what causes us to take our focus off of our confidence that, no, he needs to be looking and worried about what I'm doing. He needs to be worrying about where is my hands going and my eyes and why am I jabbing him. So that's some good stuff right there. Yeah, that's some good stuff. So let's recap real quick for those of you who might be joining in. It says that first we're talking about self-defense for women and how to protect ourselves. And also for any man, it says you should reason. Don't. These are myths now. The myth that you should reason with your attacker, don't. The myth that if your attack scream for help, don't. The myth that you need to cause pain? No. You just need to injure the person. The myth that being fit can save your life? No. You just need to be confident and know the things that you need to do. Your techniques or self-defense skills? No. You don't have to know karate. Women who survive are fearless? No. You don't have to be superwoman. So now we're going to, and focusing on blocking his attacks. Don't worry about him. Let him worry about what you're doing. Try to back away from your attacker. That's a myth. In life-threatening conflicts, if you're not injuring someone, you're getting injured. Backing up or attempting to counter his technique with another technique only gets you in more trouble. And they said that this, he says this typically is taught in self-defense classes, that they typically teach you to counteract his, and I've seen it. You've seen it on the news where they tell you, put your arm up, block his block, block that. So it really looks like you're blocking and boxing with him. He says, don't do that. That's only going to get you in more trouble. Your body is a lot better at going forward than it is at going backwards. For every 2 feet you move backwards, he can move forward 3 feet. Think about that. So I'm moving back 2 feet. He's got 3 feet, which means he's really one step ahead of me every time as far as pushing me down to the ground or getting me down. Wow. Hit as often and as quickly as possible. It says punching and kicking are akin to slapping an attacker around. If you're in danger, you need to throw all your weight into a single target or strike. In other words, don't try to fling your hand around and play. Look at, think about, what am I going to do? I'm going for the eyes. Think about, I'm going for the ears. Think about, I'm going to get those kidneys. Think about, I'm going to kick that knee. It says throw a single rock and ouch is the only reaction you're likely to get. But you swing at him, hitting him in the head, he'll be out cold. That's the difference between punching and striking. So let's recap. All right. The 9 myths that we went over are you should reason with your attacker. You should not. If you're attacked, scream for help. You should not. You need to cause pain. You should injure them. Don't worry about pain. Injure them. You need to be fit to save their life. No, anybody can do this. You need technique to self-defense skills. No, you don't have to be an expert. You just have to have fingers, feet, hands, elbows. That's all you have to have. And your knees. Women who survive are fearless. You don't have to be Superwoman or Superman. Focus on blocking his attacks. Don't focus on blocking what he's doing. Focus on you hurting and injuring him. Try to back away from your attacker. Don't try to back away. Force him down. Go toward him. Force him down. Hit as often and as quickly as possible. Don't do that. Look at a single target that you want to attack on the person's body and go for those targets only. And if you can do all of those things, you may have a chance of not being the 1 in 6 women that are sexually assaulted in Ohio. And it's just, if we went anywhere else, I'm sure it'll be even higher. And you will be the person that may come out a winner in the situation. So I hope that I've given some you a little bit of insight. I know I personally learned a lot about this because I'm one of the ones that was raised on the scream and have even told children, my own children, that, you know, scream and holler. So these are new things that I know that I need to tell them. So as I was said at the top of this show, there's right now there's a lot of self-defense classes that are going on in the city. And I just want you to be aware that, yes, you should go to a self-defense class if you can. But be aware that what every class that is taught may not be the right thing. And you have to know that at the time of an attack, your main goal has to be focused on how to injure the attacker, which will give you enough time to get away, which will give you enough time to maybe save your life or to not be injured as much as possible. So pass these tips along because I think it's important. Women, we are the unfortunately have always been the source of a lot of abuse, domestic abuse, sexual abuse, mental abuse, emotionally, you name it. And this is one of the things that we have to be sure that we know. So make sure that if you have any daughters that are going off to college, if you're going off to college, if you have any teenagers or young kids that are going to school that are standing at the bus stop, why don't you just take a few minutes, let them listen to this. You can hear it in our podcast at the WGRN website, and listen to this so that they can just get a little bit of insight on how they can possibly be safe. Because unfortunately, parents do have to go to work and can't always stand at the bus stop. with their children. And as I started at the top of the story with just a simple story of someone going to a party on campus, leaving the party, and being attacked. These things happen all the time. Women are attacked just getting out their car, going to their front door. So one of the things that we want to do is to keep you informed on how you can protect yourself and the things that are going on that will help you be more confident in yourself. We don't want to live in a world of fear. Fear is always around us. And so in order for us to have a peaceful life, a life where we can feel comfortable and confident, we have to know some things. And one of the things that we have to know is what's a myth and what's not. What's going to really save our life? What's going to help us in the time of trouble? And if we are attacked, how to keep our calm and how to get out that situation. So remember, you don't have to be strong and you don't have to be 6 foot tall. You could be 4 foot three and still be able to injure the attacker. So keep that in mind. The key when you are being attacked is to injure the attacker so that you can get away. All right. Well, I sure hope that you have enjoyed this information that I've passed on to you and that you'll share this with others and that you'll always come out and just listen to me. Whether you're in your car or you're at your home or you're in your office, you can always find Julie Whitney Scott Presents at WGRN FM 94.1, the radio station is second to none. Tell a friend, because in the fall, I'm going to be taking your calls. You may not like everything that I say, and that's okay. That's why I want you to be able to voice your opinions, because what you have to say matters to me, and it matters to WGRN. That's what we want to be. We want to be a radio station that is here for you. We want you to know that we're here for you, and we want you to know that you can call us and tell us what you want to hear. And if you don't like what you hear, call us. We're okay with that. Remember, stay safe, stay protected, be fearless, and don't worry. If you get attacked, you can be safe and get out of it if you stay calm and go for targets. All right? Be strong, and I will talk to you later. Thank you for listening to Julie Whitney Scott Presents on WGRN 94.1 FM.